Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3. Because the sun's light failed, the curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. I'd like to share with you this final word of our Lord from the cross. As I'm sure you know, there were 7 sayings from the cross. And the 7th, final of these, of the 7 words of Christ from the cross, a word of passing. This morning, I want us to look at this word of passing. What can we learn from it? I like the word passing, I think, because it really isn't a parting. It's certainly not parting from His Father, but a passing from this life to the next. Instantaneously. If we look there at the scripture again, the words that Jesus spoke were, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Now passing, I think that is a truth, and we're going to look at the truth of that. What Jesus was saying that we can learn about our own death and what it means for the Christian. Passing, I remember when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, I just really couldn't wait to get behind the wheel of the family car. So I dreamed about it. I always loved cars. There was one thing about cars that I especially liked. My favorite part of the car was passing gear. I just, liked the zoom. And I thought about that as a Christian. When we die, we zoom to this, from this life to the next. It's like that rocket that takes off from Cape Canaveral. I think they call it Cape Kennedy now. How, that rocket just takes off into the atmosphere and into space, and almost instantaneously, it seems. And I think about that. When I think about what our death is going to be like, it's going to be passing from this life to the next, instantaneously. So that's the truth, I believe, that we're going to discover as we look at listen to these words of Jesus. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I want us to think about the context of that truth. Here we're told that darkness came upon the whole land until 3, from noon to about 3. I think the King James Version says from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, which most believe means from noon, about roughly our noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyway, there was 3 hours of darkness over the land. And there's been a lot of speculation about what that darkness was. We don't really know. All I can say is that Jesus, the Bible says, created all things. Through Him, God created all things, through the Son of God. And when our sins were placed upon Him, the Bible says that He became sin for us. God had to turn His back on His Son. I think it had to be the hardest thing for God the Father to do, and for God the Son to endure those 3 hours in which the wrath of God was poured out upon Him because of our sins. Our sins were placed upon Him. Now, we don't understand that fully. I don't understand that. All I can do is accept it by faith that God, in His economy, knew that my sins needed to be punished, and so He put them on His Son on Calvary. Isn't that an awesome thought to think about? Your sins and my sins being placed upon Jesus. So that's what preceded these words that Jesus spoke. Apparently it was right at the very end of those 3 hours that Jesus spoke these words. And then we're told that the veil, the curtain of the sanctuary, was split down the middle. And the book of Hebrews tells us something about that. It says that when that happened, it showed that we have direct access to God through the rending of that veil. That veil was to be a separation in the Old Testament temple, a separation between the holy place and the most holy place, where only the high priest could go, and only once a year. And he had to take blood with him, the blood of the atonement, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. So that's the context, the rending of the veil. I believe speaks of the death of Christ and how it was necessary for Him to pass through this veil of death. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, no mystery, but it says it is appointed unto man once to die. And of course it means people, everybody. We all have this appointment with death to keep, unless the Lord comes. I'm really looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. But it may not happen in my lifetime. God, we're all just a heartbeat from eternity. And so we need to think about this veil that we must pass through. Veil, V-A-L-E, the valley of death. And what we can learn from our Lord here is so important. I think vital for us to realize. There's a context here. There's a content. And the truth is that the Spirit goes back to the Creator at death. This is what the Bible says. For example, in the Old Testament, even. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The Spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And I think of some other scriptures. When, for example, Paul said, "Absent from the body means present with the Lord." And when Stephen died, he was stoned to death because of his faithfulness to Christ and to proclaiming the good news of Christ. And the Bible says that he called upon God and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he also said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." I think thinking of Jesus on the cross, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But then he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now, the content is so very important, because there are some who hold to the belief that really death is a cessation of life. But the Bible doesn't really speak of death in that way for the Christian. It speaks of death as a sleep, that we sleep, go to sleep in Jesus. But when we sleep, we do not lose consciousness. And it seems like the more and more we live, the more we realize that there's this consciousness that goes on even in sleep. Well, the Bible says, and this is sort of a figure of speech, it's not really totally one-on-one type of relationship where it's exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. Because the Bible says that when we die, our spirit goes to be with Christ. God has created us with a spirit, soul, and body, just like God is a triune being. And the Bible says our spirit, which is really the essence of who you are. If you love Jesus and you have trusted Him as your Savior and you have invited Him into your life, then you go immediately into the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? That we're not just floating around in just space and kind of in a nether world, or that we cease existing until Jesus comes again. How could a God of love do that? Well, whether He does or not, Some would say, what does it matter? Well, it matters because the Lord here said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, or commit my spirit. So that's the teaching, clear teaching of Scripture here. And there's a contact as well. When we lived out in the country, we had a cell phone, and it wouldn't work because we were back behind a hill. Cell phones are of use if you're in a place like this, but if you get down in the mountains, they're not so good. We lose contact. And I thought about how the Lord here, our Lord Jesus, never in eternity past had He been out of contact with His Father until that moment came on the cross that our sins were placed upon Him. And He endured those 3 hours of darkness. He was out of contact. That's why Jesus prayed, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those weren't just words of a delusional man who was just out of his mind because of the pain and the agonies that he was going through and dying. But he spoke a truth there. And then here, the contact is restored. And he prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Just think about, and maybe you'd want to do a study of how Jesus related to his Heavenly Father. How it was the most precious thing for him to have fellowship with his Father. And it had to be an agonizing thing for him to have these 3 hours in which, in all of eternity, only 3 hours in which he was out of contact with his Father. So there's a truth here. There's a teaching about the Trinity. Did you notice that it says in this seventh saying of Jesus from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit or entrust my spirit. I think there is a Trinity there, don't you? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus said, I will send Him when I go away. I will go away to the Father. And that's another reason why I believe we should believe that we are never out of contact with our Heavenly Father. Once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now you may be out of fellowship with Him because of sin, but He will never leave you or forsake you. And when we get to heaven, when we leave this life, there won't be a break. We will go immediately into the presence of God. How wonderful is that? And it's all made possible by this one who died on the cross for us. There's a Trinity here, a Trinity. There's an atonement in thinking about that Trinity. Some say the Bible doesn't teach it, but there can be no atonement without it. Think about that. At one moment is really what that means. How was it accomplished? Well, because Jesus died for us on the cross, the Father was pleased, and He sent His Spirit to show us that He was pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And there's an accompaniment, if you will, an accompaniment. Jesus had said in John 16:32, my Father is with me. My Father is with me. And here we see, again, this relationship restored with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father was pleased at this sacrifice that His Son made on Calvary. It speaks of that. And the accomplishment of the atoning work of Christ is spoken of in these words, so full of meaning. I just want to encourage us to just think about what our Lord is saying here. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because we must also walk that veil. And we can learn from the words of our Lord Jesus here about how He has made atonement for our sins and how we can have unbroken fellowship with Him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And accomplishing, our Lord having accomplished what He was sent into this world to accomplish on the cross. And so there's a truth here, there's a Trinity that we can learn from. There's a trust that we can learn from. And in thinking about that trust of our Father, here it says, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. That's the translation here, Holman Christian Standard Bible's translation. I think the others are very similar to that. I commit or commend my spirit. It means the same thing. It really means I entrust. And there's a trust here that we can learn from in His prayer. As Jesus began His ministry with a prayer, and we read about that in Luke 3:21, where it says that as He was praying and the Spirit came upon Him, Jesus also being baptized by John the Baptist, if you recall, praying, the heaven was opened, and His first words on the cross were a prayer, Father, forgive them. So His last earthly words were a prayer, Father, into your hands I commit my trust. Isn't there a lesson here for us in prayer, communicating with our Heavenly Father, entrusting our lives to Him, just a prayer of offering ourselves to Him? There's a prayer, there's a profession. Sometimes I hear a church member or one who claims to be a Christian say they hope to get to heaven. when they die. But we don't see that in our Savior. We don't see a doubt, a wavering there. Father, I hope that what I've done is good enough for you. And receive me to heaven. Well, we're not saved on the basis of whether we live lives good enough. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. But we're saved on the basis of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we can pray what Jesus prayed here. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I don't understand that. I don't understand how someone as faulty as I and as sinful as I can be made righteous before God. But it's in God's eyes, He sees us through His Son dying for us on the cross. And that's so wonderful. It's profession, it's promise. Again, the Bible says, absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And Paul went on to say in that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 8, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And don't you know that our Savior prayed that in joy? Because it was His homegoing to His Father. There's much that we can learn. There's much that we can learn from this. I understand that as the Titanic was sinking, the hymn, Near My God to Thee, was played. And I think, you know, this is really like a microcosm of life, isn't it? We're all going to face our death. We don't know when it's going to happen, maybe, but we know it's going to happen. And so I love what the hymn writer wrote. I read these words again, and I want to read them to you. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to Thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that Thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to Thee. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with Thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise, so by my woes to be nearer, my God, to Thee. Those kinds of thoughts were in our Savior's minds as He spoke these words, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And I want to encourage you, if you've never come to know God as your Heavenly Father, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, would you trust Him today? And if you know Him, would you recommit your life to Him? Would you ask the Lord to prepare your heart, not just for that moment of death, we don't know when that's going to happen, but throughout life, that you might walk with your Heavenly Father, and He will also walk with you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Lord.